I just want to say one thing. Anointed, anointed. The worship here is so anointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this house of praise. House of praise. Let's go in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we just acknowledge you are here. Your kingdom is here because your children are here. And we just love you and thank you and praise you and honor you. And we cast out everything that is not of you away from here. And we just want to see your glory. And we love you and praise you and honor you. It's in your name, Jesus Christ, name above all names. Amen. So the Lord has put on my heart to share something I've learned. I think most of you know, Melissa and I and Samantha, we came down 2 years ago from Flagstaff to serve the Lord. And we'd already had active ministry before we came here. But the Lord said, you're to go here, and specifically to not go Sonora and into other parts of Sonora. And the Lord has taught me a lot. And I think one of the big things has been we as Americans have been brought up to think certain ways. And when you go to Mexico, they don't necessarily think like us. And I like it because it challenges the things we've grown up with. And one of the things the Lord has shown me specifically is a lot of times when we have need, he's already given it to us. And I see this all the time. Every time, Melissa's probably tired of me hearing it say this. It's like, oh, I need this. And the Lord says, son, you have it right here. And, you know, specifically one of the things that for 2 years, I always searched for the perfect compañero, brother in Christ to serve with me. And the Lord said, well, you have a wife. It's and the flesh said, well, you know, Melissa doesn't speak Spanish. The Lord says, wait a minute, who created her mouth? And we've had some joy over the last few months where the Lord has just showed me that. So my teaching is going to be in the book of Matthew, in the New Testament, book of Matthew. And again, this is what the Lord has taught me is we as his children already had the blessing. A lot of times, you know, we do have to ask for it, but many times he's already given it to us. And we just need to acknowledge that and say, thank you, Lord, and accept it and receive it. And I love Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara because they've taught us a lot about receiving. It's something that once you have it, you still have to receive it to obtain the blessing. So I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 9, a few verses up from chapter 10 in verse 35. And if I would have a title to this teaching, it would be The Model of Ministry. And one of the things that we already have is we already have a model of ministry. And I know Melissa and I, we've been through many different churches and are, you know, searching to serve the Lord. And it's just so funny in America, we always look for the perfect book, the perfect ministry to copy. And the Lord already gave us the model right here. And so I'm gonna go in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And I'm reading from the New King James. And it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And one thing I read over and over, and I love what Pastor Calvin shared. You know, you read the word, you're going to find something new every time. And what the Lord provided his disciples was he just didn't first tell them how to do ministry. He first showed them. And he did that by, it says here, going throughout the cities, going to the villages. He sought the lost. He didn't wait for them to come. He didn't set up shop and say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, he went and sought them. And that's one thing the Lord has taught me is to seek. And sometimes it's knocking on doors. Sometimes it's going into some very uncomfortable places, like the prisons when the doors slam behind you and, okay, I'm in here with them. And but the Lord, when you're there with the Lord, it's you have that peace, you have that comfort, you have that security. And it says here, what did the Lord do besides he sought out? He taught in the synagogues. So he taught the truth. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every sickness and every disease among the people. So we have here, he taught, he preached, and he healed. And the disciples, they saw that. And verse 36, this is the other thing that's, to me, the foundation of a ministry is you got to have a heart for the people. And verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And I think most of you know that Melissa and I go to some pretty uncomfortable places, but we love these people. And they're like sheep without a shepherd. And when you see someone raise their hand, they want to get saved. What a blessing. And I just have to share something happened on, this happened on Monday. Melissa and I were in a rehab in Cananea. And for those of you who don't know, a lot of the rehabs in Mexico are kind of like prison. You go in, different gates, they lock them behind you, and they have different levels. But there's one I really like to go to. It's where the, I'll use the word mentally ill, but it's where the people, no one goes to. Nobody goes to. I remember when I first went to there, I said, can I go in? The guy looked at me. He said, do you really want to go in? I said, yeah, I want to go in. And every week I go in, and I bring cookies, I bring snacks, and I speak the word over them. And there's one man there, and I don't know how old he is. He has Down syndrome. His name's Chewy. And when I walk in, he grabs my hand. He grabs me and hugs me, and he doesn't want to let me go. And he's strong, too. And I love him. I love these people. And no one goes to them. You can see in their face. They just have joy when we show up. And I tears come to my eyes. I can't tell you how much it's such a joy. And like the Lord, he showed them. He was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And verse 37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And that was true in the day of the Lord when he spoke this, and there's true right now, is the laborers are few. And places I go to, I usually always ask, I say, well, do other pastors come here? And it's always, nobody comes here. And it hurts, but it's confirmation to me that that's where we need to be. And the Lord said it in red letters in my Bible. Verse 38 says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And as a young believer, I was always infatuated by the word. And so much that when I was a new believer, I took a Greek New Testament class at a seminary in Phoenix. And I just wanted to know, what does that word really mean? And because when I come across, therefore pray the Lord harvest, I don't know what it meant. So I looked it up in my Greek New Testament. And it means plead. It means plead with passion. It means ask God with passion. Lord, please send out laborers. These people need you. And they need to hear it from us. The word comes from hearing and from the preacher. So the Lord, these four verses, the Lord showed by example for the disciples how to minister. And I love the Lord. Then I'm going to start in verse 1 in chapter 10. And there's actually parallel passages in Mark, also in Luke. But this is when he sent out the 12. And these are the disciples. And I think we all know there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. A disciple is one who is, he wants to be like the master. He's following him around. He wants to be like the master. There's always, you'll always have, you know, the fringe, you know, the people, well, I just want to get my fire insurance, but no, a disciple. So verse 1 says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebedeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And I want to stop there. So we know this is kind of a ragtag group. And the Lord tells us in 1 Corinthians that the noble aren't called. And I think we all know they probably wouldn't go. The Lord picks us. Thank you, Lord. And I love this in verse 1. This is where every one of us need to know. I need to meditate on this because sometimes I get distracted. I get sometimes discouraged. But in verse 1 says, after he called them, it says in the middle of verse 1, it says, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of diseases and all kinds of disease. And I looked up that word power, and it's actually the word authority. I don't know if you remember, later in Matthew, it's in Luke also, the centurion. When the centurion sought out the Lord, he says, Lord, please don't even come under my house. I'm a man under authority, and I have those under me, the authority. And as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have authority. You have authority in your words. You have authority in your finger. I've used this against demonic spirits. I've used my finger and I've say, you be quiet. Cállate. Tú no tienes poder ni suerte en ese lugar. Afuera. And they're quiet. And we have his authority. And that's because of who we are. We're his son. We're his daughter. We're his disciples. And it says here, power over unclean spirits. And I could go on and on of what we've seen. And Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara have heard some of the stories. And it's really neat because we do have his authority. What I like also is to cast them out, yes, and also to heal all kinds of diseases and sickness. We're to bless. We're to bless. Like I said, you have power in the words out of your mouth. You have power to heal. And Melissa and I have seen this, speaking love over someone who we had a young woman. She actually did pass away, but we spoke healing over this woman who was supposed to be, the doctors gave up hope. They said, no, she's going to die within a week. Well, she didn't. And we would visit her. And me and Melissa were like, I think she's getting better. And she was. And it's amazing the power, the authority disciple, a believer has in our words, in our anointing, and the blessing we can pour onto that. I'm going to go on to verse 5. This is about when you're called, God is in my case, he's always been very specific. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was very specific. And I believe a lot of times I know in my life, if I'm not specific, I can get really diluted. And I remember when I mentioned before Melissa and I came down here 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years, the first week of June, I was like, oh, wow, I could go to Mexico. There's a lot of hippies in Bisbee that need the Lord, and there's a prison in Douglas. And it was interesting. I drove by the prison in Douglas, and the Lord says, no, no. And I drove away. And we've even tried evangelizing in Bisbee, and the Lord just said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to go there. And here he's very specific. And in verse 7, I love this. First, in the first four verses I read to you about the Lord show them how to minister, he's now telling them. And verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And what's interesting, in when you study in the Greek, the verse 7 and 8, these are commands. Preach the gospel. Don't give someone something watered down. No. Preach the gospel. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, came, died on a cross. On the third day, he rose again. And you can get saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And you can go through all different versions or ways of speaking it, but it's the gospel. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Yes, disciples of Jesus Christ can see healing. We have seen healing. I have received healing. And cleanse the lepers. And I'll use my own words. Cleanse those who have no way of ever being cleansed. And I know I deal with that a lot. I can't tell you some of the people we've dealt with. I guess I'll share this one part. We go into some of these places and we come out smelling. we have a word for it. Melissa's laughing because Samantha's like, you've been there. I can smell you guys. But no one goes there. And God loves those people. God loves those people. He wants to see them healed, cleansed, and risen. And also another one, cast out demons. Yes, we can do that. It not just happened in the day of the Lord, it happens now. We've seen it. We've prayed over women who were involved in witchcraft and worshiping Saint Death. And we've seen it. They will flee. They'll flee by the praises and they'll flee by your authority. And I love this part. Freely you have received, freely give. This is one of the things I love. Mexico has taught me this, is if you have something, you give it. And I remember when I first went to Mexico, I was like, really? My house is your house? Mi casa es tu casa. They mean it. And this is something as Americans, we've got to get over. Because God has given us so much. He has just blessed us so immensely. And we're to give. And it's so funny, is because growing up, it's always, oh, you're to get to save for retirement. I never quite figured that out. No, God gives us so we can bless others. I receive blessings to turn them around and bless others. And it's a joy. And it's actually, again, in the language, it's a command. Freely give is a command. I'm going on to verse 9. And it says, provide neither gold nor silver. This is the Lord teaching his disciples how to minister. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. And one of the things I've learned in ministry is the world will try to form you into its image. It'll try to tell you, oh, you're supposed to do ministry this way. And I really appreciate Pastor Calvin and Pastor Barbara because they've taught us a lot. No, you don't. You don't have to do ministry just because everyone else is doing it that way. And the Lord said, here, he's going to take care of us. And I know Melissa comes from a conservative background where the provision is so important. I think for the wife, it's real important. It's just how God's made women is they need that security. And here the Lord says, no, don't take this. You're worthy of your food. You're worthy of your provision. When you serve the Lord, he will take care of you because you're worthy. And I'm going to go on to verse 11. In whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And I want to stop there. God will take care of you. When you step out, I know for us it was hard. And I love being around people that have been there before us because it works. When you step out, he will provide for you. And I love this part about, again, when you go into a town, go into wherever, find those who are worthy. You will find them. I found them. I have brothers in Christ in Mexico. One brother, my dear brother, Pedro, I met because I knocked on his door. It's like, I heard about him. Someone told me, oh, you need to go meet him. And I did the scary thing. I drove up to his house and introduced myself. And I have one of the best friends I've ever had in Jesus Christ. And you will find those who are worthy. And at the same time, if they're not, let your peace return to you. It doesn't say get angry. It says let your peace go back to you. And I'm going to go on to verse 14. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And I'm going to stop there. Is we have a responsibility to share, to give, but the results are in the Lord's hand. And I love that because you can't fail. You can't fail. If you're doing what he wants you to do, there's no failure clause. It's his work. He just needs us to show up, be obedient, and do what he told us to do. And sometimes, this is one of the things that it's been hard for Melissa and I. We have had to exit ministries that at one time were doing really well. But the Lord says, no, they can't receive you. And this is something that you guys have taught us a lot, is go to those who can receive you. And I love people, my brother Ruben, he's bilingual. He can speak Spanish and English so well. I can't. I think most of you know, I learned my Spanish in my ministry into prison. So I tell people, I learned Spanish in prison. I don't speak real well. I can understand pretty well, but I'll never be probably like Reuben. I'll never be like Denise or her parents. But the Lord has taught me, go to those who can receive you. And when you go into these prisons, these rehabs, where no one else is going, you'll be received. That's how it is. That's how, well, at least that we have seen. The Lord will receive, or they will receive. And if not, shake the dust off your feet and go. And I want to go to verse 16. This is the part that can be scary because it's real. Is the demons, they don't like you going to those places. I remember some of the first times I've gone into new areas, I usually see a demonic manifestation. As a matter of fact, last night, Melissa and I saw some demonic manifestations. Verse 16 says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And I'll stop there. You're going to go into some pretty scary places. You're going to see some scary things, but you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid at all. And actually, it's interesting. I've been to some pretty scary places around some pretty scary people, and even last night, but I was never afraid. Last night, it was interesting. We were in Mexico, and there's some demon-possessed guys, and there was actually a demon-possessed woman who was interrupting a prayer. And all I could say was, I said, get out! Get out! Chamas fuera! That's all I could say. Get out! And all the guys were like, they started like going for the door. Like, no, no, her! Get out! Get out! And she did. And I got to pray my blessing over a dear brother. And he received. He received with joy. Again, and it says, therefore, be as wise as serpents. So it's okay to understand what they're up to. And sometimes you have to know. You know, sometimes I've seen American Christians be a little innocent. It's like, no, that's a demonic manifestation. You know, I can tell. Listen to what they're saying. If you hear words of discouragement, especially words of blasphemy, that to me, I can say, that's a demon. Because no one needs to speak that. So we're to be wise as servants. And that word harmless as doves, I looked that up. It means to be pure. We're to be pure. And one of the things that I know is true is when you're pure before God, the demons can't touch you. They have nothing on you. But those who do ministry loaded with sin, they're like a target. I like the word in Spanish, blanco. Tú eres un blanco. Boom. Because you're opening the door. But be harmless, pure as doves. Verse 17 says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. But you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And I don't know about you, but I read that and that's confidence. That's confidence. And so the first part, though, is the reality is you will be betrayed. The Lord was betrayed. And I'm going to go on a little bit further in the scripture, and the Lord says, if they betrayed me, if they said I had a demon, they're going to say it about you. Be prepared. Know it's going to come. What I love about the Lord is he never sent us out into ministry, and we like, you never told me that. Yes, he did right here. He said, you will be betrayed. And it says, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And which is interesting, I had some Jewish friends growing up. Actually, I have family who are Jewish. And I always thought the word synagogue was a Hebrew word, but it's not. It's a Greek word. It means a gathering place. It means a fellowship hall. It means a place where believers congregate. And this has been a hard thing for me. But I'm going to say it because it's true, and the Lord warned us, is sometimes those people who are going to attack you are going to say they're Christians or going to come from the body, and it's going to hurt. And the Lord warned us right here. They will deliver you up. They will scourge you in those meeting places. So, again, it hurts. I know we've been through it, and you can get through it. You will get through it. Verse 18 says, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. And one of the things I've always learned is when we receive our hurts, our wounds, it brings him glory. He received wounds on the cross that brought glory. And when we receive those wounds, those injuries, those insults, he will get the glory because that's who he is. And that's I don't want to say it's a this for that, but these wounds, I know the wounds we've suffered at the hands of other Christians have always brought God glory, and they will because he said it. And verses 19 says, but when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. Verse 20, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And again, that's where I said that's confidence. When you go before people, sometimes speaking for the first time in front of people, it's always nervous. You know, I'm always kind of nervous. It's always kind of nerve-wracking. But when I just ask, Lord, speak through me. Ramon's words mean nothing. I always say in Spanish, mis palabras significan nada. And they, yeah, okay. But the word of God is what you want to hear. Lord, speak through me by your Spirit. And he will. He will speak through you. Verse 21. And now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. I want to go back to verse 21. Brother will deliver up brother. Christian brothers will deliver up other Christian brothers. And fathers, this is just so painful. But it can and will happen. Verse 21, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. And the middle of verse 22, this is the prize, that he who endures to the end will be saved. This is in Matthew 24. This is the reward of a disciple. If you endure to the end, you will be saved. And it's actually one of the when I read the word, these promises, these confirmations, these things that you can absolutely say, I believe it and I know it, go to the disciples. It's interesting, is disciples have that confidence. I have that confidence. I have that confidence that if I ever would get murdered in my ministry, I know I would be instantly in the presence of the Lord. I never have a fear, of that at all. But this is the confidence. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Endures. Sometimes it does take enduring. Verse 23 says, when they persecute you in the city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So one of the things I've learned is if you are not received or if you're flat out persecuted, go and do it again. Go and do it again. That's what I love about Paul. You know, Paul was the bulldog of minister. He would get plastered in one town, but you know, they would try to kill him. And what did he do? He got up and he went and did it again. And we have that boldness. We have that ability because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution, which is interesting about persecution, is true faith actually gets stronger in persecution. And I think we all have read the history. That is absolutely true. And I won't spend time on the latter part of verse 23, that there's actually a huge prophecy there. Verse 24 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they had called the master of the house Beelzebub, or Satan, how much more will they call those of his household? So, and actually, I love the word because the word all fits together. You read in Matthew 12 where they said he casts out spirits by the spirit of Beelzebub. If they blaspheme the Lord, they're going to blaspheme you. If they accuse the Lord, they're going to accuse you. We're not above our master, but our master is all powerful. I love my Lord because I know as a servant, and actually that word servant in verse 24, it's the word doulos. It's the word for slave. But the slave is slavery of the Lord is a blessing. I love my Lord. I love serving my Lord. A disciple is not above his teacher. Absolutely. We will never be And we actually came from a Mormon neighborhood in Flagstaff. And no, we will not be gods. No, we will be disciples of the Lord. And I love that. Verse 25, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be like the Lord. And a servant, a slave like his master. And knowing that if they called him a devil, they're going to call us that. Verse 26 says, therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And that's the confidence we have. You know, you will be slandered. I have been slandered. But it says here, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. He's going to take care of that. Don't fear them. Don't fear the world. You can go and share Christ wherever you want and don't fear them. And it says, for there's nothing covered that will not be revealed. There's going to be a day. And I tell this all the time, especially in the rehabs, where everyone is going to be face-to-face with the Lord. And either you're going to be clothed with the fine linen of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to be naked and ashamed and terrified and to be cast out. There will be a day. Verse 27, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Be bold. Be bold. Preach on the housetops. Speak it publicly. Verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We're not to fear men. We're not to fear social condemnation. We're not to fear even, you know, I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you all do too. Aren't you afraid to go to Mexico? There's a lot of violence in Mexico. And, well, you know what? Actually, no, I'm really not too afraid. I actually feel safer there sometimes than other places. But the Lord says we're not to fear. Don't fear those who can kill your body, because as a disciple in Jesus Christ, I know if someone does get permission from the Lord to take my life, I'm going to be in the presence of him in a minute, and not even a minute, in a twinkling of an eye. Thank you, Lord. I fear the Lord. Verse 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? He has everything in control. He knows my last day. I don't need to worry about that. And it says, verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. We have that confidence. We're the kids, the king's kids. We have privilege. We have so many blessings. And like I said, what he keeps teaching me is, Ramon, I just gave it to you. Just accept it. Receive it. And verse 32, this is where it gets, the Lord is very specific. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Wow. Confession. Like I said, you have power in your words to heal, to destroy, but to confess. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. There is power, and I will confess that wherever he wants me to confess that. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed that I am a child of the King. But verse 33, but whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And knowing there's forgiveness, yes, Peter denied the Lord three times, but whoever denies the Lord ultimately will suffer the consequence. Verse 34, but do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, this is something that's I hear so much. Isn't God a God of love? Yes, he is a God of love, but he is also a God that will separate. And we all know Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword, double-edged knife that will cut and separate. And that is who he is about. He is here to separate the things that are wrong in our lives, to separate the sin that has dominion in our lives. He wants to free us. It's not a sword of violence. It's almost like a surgical instrument. He wants to cut that out. And he wants to divide the things that do not belong. Do not think I've come to bring peace on earth. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Luke say peace on earth and goodwill to men? Yes, it does. He came to divide the things to make us holy. He wants a pure and holy church. He wants disciples that are clean, powerful, mighty in his kingdom. Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be of his own household. We've already talked about that. Verse 37 says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I want to stop there because this is something that, again, one of the things that I've learned is when you live in another culture, many times you have to start questioning, well, why do I believe this? One of the things that I have respect for, but I also see a lot of contradiction to this verse. And we know the Word of God is the authority. This is true. And I'll use the word family values. I hear this a lot. When we were living in California, I remember hearing churches joining with the Mormon church. You guys remember, was it Proposition 8 against homosexual marriage in California? And I just kept hearing, oh, yeah, we need to come alongside these people to fight for family values. And I was like, no, they do not. They are not brothers in Christ. Jesus Christ is not the son of the devil, which they believe in. And we need to discern what is true. He who loves his father or mother more than me, we're to love the Lord first. More, no, you can't love your family more than the Lord. I love my family. I love my wife. But I have to love my Lord more because he demands it. He is worthy. And verse 38, this is the fundamental. This is why we have this up here, the cross. Because we have to constantly remember, verse 38 says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And we all know what the cross means. The cross means suffering. The cross means shame. The cross means ultimately freedom. I love my Lord, but yes, he had to suffer on the cross. My sins put him on the cross to die a horrible life so that I could be free. And it says here, what do I need to do? He who does not take up his cross. I need to take up my cross. And the Word of God says in multiple places, daily. This isn't just something that you have to do once in a while. It's daily. Take up your cross and follow me. And that's what we're to do. So he gave us instructions. This is, like I said, these passages all give us a model of ministry. He showed us how to do it. He showed the disciples how to do it. He told us how to do it. Now we're to do it. And guess what? You will suffer. I mentioned we've been, Melissa and I have, and Samantha have been here 2 years doing ministry, but actually started 7 years ago when we started ministering to homeless, going into the prison, preaching the Word of God on the streets of Flagstaff, which is very hard soil, by the way. But I can't tell you how much a blessing it is. The blessings of ministry is just amazing. To have people come up and hug you and tell you that you led me to the Lord. I know you guys, it's all happened to all you guys. But what a joy. What a joy. And it happens. Sometimes it happens like, I don't even remember you. But that's cool. But you will be blessed. But yes, it hurts. There will be times that you will have to take up the cross. And verse 39 says, and he who finds his life will, I'm sorry, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. And this is, again, this is so opposite of what I was raised with. In America, I heard one pastor use these words, and I don't remember his name, so they're not my words. But he said, Americans, the goal of Americans, most Americans, is to arrive at death safely. I was like, yeah, that's true. Everyone wants to die safely. But then he went on and said, but the gospel is not to make us safe. It's to be dangerous. And like I said, some of the times that in my ministry, sometimes how I realize I'm doing the right thing is by the demonic manifestations. And we've seen ugly things. But the enemy is afraid of us. When you preach the word, when you heal the sick, when you cast out demons, he's actually more afraid of you, which is amazing. And I can't tell you how many times it's been like, oh, but Lord, he's a really big guy, and you know, the prisons is like, they're all wearing orange, and I don't know, but in the name of Jesus Christ, and they sit down. And we have that authority, and we have, and it says here, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So there's no fear. We have no, when I go through these scriptures, first of all, we have confidence that if we do what he told us to do, that the success depends on him, doesn't depend on us. And at the same time, even if we die in a process, we find it. Wow. We have nothing to lose. We have the confidence. We have his authority. We have his instructions. We can't lose. And verse 40 says, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. We have that confidence. We have nothing to lose. The only thing we have to lose is if we are disobedient and we miss a blessing. And again, I go through these scriptures, and I can't tell you, I can look at, my ministry, nothing like, you know, very brief compared to pastors here, that it's true. You have the confidence. You can step out. You can proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can see people get saved. You can see people get healed. You can cast out demons. You can have authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and you can live the victory. You can see the blessing, and you can find this life. And there is another parallel scripture in verse Luke that I got a few more minutes. And I'm sorry, Luke chapter 10. So in the scripture, in Luke chapter 9, it's actually a parallel scripture where he sent out the 12. And chapter 10 is where he sends out the 70. So I know this because I've probably spoken these same words. I can't do that ministry. I'm not Billy Graham. Oh, I can't do that ministry. I'm not Pastor Calvin, and Melissa's not Pastor Barbara. Guess what? He went from the 12 to the 70. Yes, you can. And it says here, chapter 10, verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face in every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, truly, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. We've heard that. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And it goes on and gives a lot of the same instruction. And one of the things I learned about the Lord is when he repeats something in scripture, listen, because he's telling you something. Okay, I'm not one of the 12, but guess what? I'm probably one of the 70. And what I told you about what the Lord has taught me is, Ramon, you need something? You probably already have it. Two by two, my wife Melissa, and we've seen some really neat things. Even yesterday was pretty cool. So I guess my message to my brothers and sisters in Christ here is yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you will see the blessings and be blessed. So thank you for this opportunity. And I just want to close in prayer. Jesus Christ, we come before you. We honor you and praise you and love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your glorious life that showed us how to minister. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for the blessings that you have set before us that we just need to receive. We thank you for giving us the things we need. And we thank you for your holy presence. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Ramon. Everybody say, thank you, Ramon. Hello, Mitch. Welcome, Mitch. Did you just get here? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do you have any announcements, Mitch? No? Mitch is very popular. He's popular with his family, his church, and his job. Praise the Lord. We're going to give a love offering to Ramon and his family for his ministry. They don't have any huge organizations or denominations backing them up. They just are obeying God, and they depend on God to back them up. And we just want to be a part of that in whatever way we can. And so if you have it in your heart tonight to share in their ministry and share in their lives, I just encourage you to do so. It is good seed and good ground, and you can't go wrong giving offerings to people who are winning souls. You just can't go wrong with that. Everything about it is good. And so just as the Lord leads you tonight, before you leave, please give that a prayerful consideration. Does anyone have any special prayer needs you'd like for us to pray with tonight? Anybody have anything bothering you? Any devils need to be cast out? We can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to thank you for participating in this service. Your participation is very sweet and important to us. And be praying about Sunday morning service. I shared with you last Sunday how this coming Sunday we have the subject of Jesus is King. And the Lord's been feeding me along these lines. I've been seeing him more as King. And all week long, every day I get another verse, I get another nugget of revelation. And be praying about Sunday's service, because I really believe the Lord wants us to use this holiday, if you will, Palm Sunday, as a time to express the kingship of the Lord Jesus and how he also wants us to reign with kings as kings with him. And we are in a kingdom. We tend to give the king and the kingdom all to England and the queen, and because the nations of the earth don't use kings and queens as they used to. And now it's just kind of a glorious pomp and ceremonial thing. But the Bible talks a lot about kings and kingdoms and the reigning of kings. And Jesus is the King of kings. And I just feel like we need to spend some time with that. So be praying with me about Sunday's service, that the Lord will show us what he wants to show us about the kingship of the Lord Jesus. And I want us to get excited about being in his kingdom. There are benefits to being in the kingdom of Christ, in the kingdom of God. Benefits. Amen. So anyway, God bless you. Have a great and wonderful rest of the week. Your kids will be out of their classes anytime now. So just enjoy your fellowship. Enjoy one another. Remember, you're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthened you. Amen. God bless you.